In Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1 is a strong chapter. It's about up to date as you can get for as current events and that kind of thing. But Paul, he's in this first chapter of Romans, and he will cut through the maze of doctrine and come to a firm declaration of faith. And that's in verses 16 and 17, which is the theme of the whole book. And it says, Paul is not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is a power of salvation for everyone who believes. And our God-given favor from him is revealed from faith to faith. And then it says, and the just shall live by faith. Mankind, and in their secular thinking, they kind of rationalize things, and it goes something like this. What you believe is not as important as the sincerity with which you believe. Or, as you truly believe, and if you truly believe in a God, that's what really matters. I beg your pardon. The beliefs we hold are critical. Our beliefs determine our hereafter. Now, we can err on what we believe and be sincerely wrong, and thus be apart from God. Paul did not create his own belief system here in Romans. Christ, when he converted Paul, when he knocked him to the ground with the brightness of the reality of himself, Paul was laying there on the road, on the ground, and the reality of Jesus and who Jesus is comes to Paul. And Jesus happens to be the one and only God, the only one God for our salvation. There is no other path. So it matters what we believe. And Paul, when he's there on the road to Damascus, he has found himself persecuting believers or persecuting Jesus. And the Lord says to Paul, isn't it hard for you to kick against the goads? But Paul was full out in all that he did. He persecuted the church, and now that he's a believer, he broadcasts that Christ is the only way of salvation, and that's his theme of his life. Paul is converted, and it's a great conversion. And Paul, then he's going to write about the relationship to God through the description of man's conduct to God. So let's read Romans 1, 18 to 23. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and the Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Paul is simply pointing out the human race is ungodly, and they show it in their offense towards God. And unrighteousness in their sins of man, not only against God, but against each other. And this is clearly seen by the way man suppresses the truth of God. Every truth of God, man has fought against with and through his rebellion against God. The truth of God has been clearly seen by the things God created. God himself had manifested to man who he is and his deity. He's shown his own character. The invisible attributes of himself, he has shown them to man. They have been clearly seen, yet suppressed. Suppressed by what God created. We have been made aware of, we have been made to understand our eternal God. And it is only our rebellion against God that would cause a person to refute that declaration. Verse 21, man knew and understood God, but refused to be thankful or grateful to God. And they became futile in their thoughts. And it says, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, man became fools. And they demonstrated this darkness by changing the glory of God into images of corruptible man or beast. Have you ever took notice of the idols of mankind? They either look like a man or they look like an animal. That is the way man makes idols. And God's wrath is revealed against heaven and against mankind who suppresses the truth in unrighteousness. God isn't mean to man. He turns man over to himself in his futile thoughts and his anti-God thoughts. Paul explains the reason for God's wrath. And that is simply because God is a holy God and he hates sin. And thus we have the wrath of God coming against sin. But God doesn't leave us stranded. He doesn't leave us out there groping and hoping for salvation. He provided salvation through his Son, through Jesus. But the problem with sinful man is that he did not want to recognize God as God. Mankind as a whole has rejected God as creator and Lord. So we come to a conclusion. What is the conclusion to all this? Well, the conclusion comes in verses 24 through 32, and it says, therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this reason, God gave them to vile passions, for even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving the natural use of a woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boaster, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Now that's a list. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. We come to that therefore. Therefore brings us to a conclusion. Therefore, God gave these evil-hearted, perverted men and women over to their own evil desires of sin. And that sin was coveting, lusting, allowing man to experience the self-destruction of sin. That's the wrath of God. He gave them over to allow them to see the destruction of sin. And God repeats that warning three times in this passage. We can, in our own minds, think God does not care how or man behaves. Does God really care that man is sinful or that he continues to sin? Notice it is God's wrath that allows men that are bent on sinning to destroy themselves with sin. The wrath of God is allowing man to continue in his sin. There's a thought process that sinful man goes through. They exchange the truth of God for quote-unquote the lie. The worst lie you can give is self-deception. And when that deception is complete, it transforms our thinking that God, he really doesn't care. He's okay with the sin of man, and we can buy into that lie. God is not okay with sin. Putting the desires of the flesh above God and Creator is the lie. The lie is nothing more than God is depriving you of some desire that you have been born with. There's the lie. When in truth, God is allowing you to experience your own debased sin in hopes you will turn away from, quote unquote, the lie. One of the great lies is we are master of our own ship. We can choose to fulfill the evilness of our heart and not suffer any penalty or consequence. So we read that God gave man over to his vile passions and the darkness of his heart. Paul will describe the sin and the corruption of the pagan world that he finds himself living in. In a straightforward and direct manner, Paul will describe the Roman Empire. The great preacher Spurgeon, he refused to read this passage in a public setting. He found it too offensive. He said, if you want to read this, read it at home when you're alone. And Paul describes the sin of homosexuality, women with women and men with men, and he leaves no doubt in the severity of the sin of homosexuality. He doesn't sidestep it for a moment. First, he says, women dishonoring their bodies among themselves. And then in verse 27, likewise, men leaving the natural desires for women burn with lust for one another. And he said, it is shameful. Again, Paul is writing to the church at Rome. Rome happens to be the center of the Roman Empire. And for 200 years, the men who ruled Rome, many of them openly practiced homosexuality. Homosexuality is not a new sin. They even created a holiday for young boy prostitutes, a legal holiday elevating the homosexual lifestyle. But when we read this passage, understand God gave them over to the lust of their hearts, and they dishonored their bodies among themselves. So the mark, that level of society, is nothing more than open rebellion against God. But it isn't only in sexual activities that we rebel against God. We can rebel against God in our everyday thinking. It has been said we are spiritually insane with our acceptance and rebellion against God's standards. You're insane if you come against God. But let's turn the page here. It isn't only sexual behavior that mankind rejects God. Paul mentions sins that are unrighteous. Let me go through that list again. You may see yourself in some of these. Wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful. Then the last verse of chapter 1, it says, those who practice such things are worthy of death. And sin, when unrepented of, leads to death. But never count yourself in the company that approves of those who practice things of a sinful lifestyle. Why could Paul not stop at the evils of sexual behavior? Why couldn't he just stop there? But as long as we're reading about sins, some sins that we call or look upon as acceptable, and we can see how detestable God comes against homosexuality, but the list here of unrighteous sins is 22 different sins. Let me draw your attention to a couple of them. Two of them that are mentioned here. Notice that men are haters of God and His holiness. Mankind constantly wallowing in evil thoughts and conduct. They constantly dwell on evil. Sin is not passive. It looks for a way, a method to express itself. Today, just watching the news this week, many churches in Canada, simply because they recognize organized religion, they're being burnt to the ground. This is happening right now. And Canada's government is not doing a thing about it. You see, mankind in their hatred of God must act out in a sinful way. For they follow their father, the devil. And the devil is nothing more than a murderer and a liar. evil man becomes inventors and creators of sinful behavior. And we're to be on guard lest we become entertained by sin like so many things around us. Some Christians watch things, say, on TV that they should not watch. How about soap operas? My goodness, openly detestable. How are the Kardashians doing? Who cares? We have R ratings, or for mature audience. This nonsense. If they say R, it's wrong. Sorry. Now the latest one. Probably step on toes with this one. Facebook. It can be used as a way of gossiping. A Facebook can. If somebody you know is a gossiper and they befriend you, you don't have to befriend them back. But the things that are out there, man inventing ways to be evil and to practice and to pull others into their sin. But be careful. We're always to be careful that we do not take pleasure in the sins of others. Never give a sinful person the approval that they so look for within the Christian community. But Paul, he lumps all these sins into the same category, and you know what he says? They're worthy of death. That's kind of harsh. Paul, lighten up a little bit. No, he said, they're worthy of death. And we see how the ungodly can be an abomination to God. And we've read 22 sins against God, and Paul lists them. He takes time to list them out where there would be no mistaking in our minds. And he says, those who commit these sins or approve of such sins are worthy of death. Now, was Paul being harsh or was he being real? A totally righteous and holy God hates sin. And the wrath of God is revealed against all sin. That should be a warning to us. Be careful of how we look upon sin. And we can get a little casual about it. Love the sinner and hate his sin. Well, that can be difficult sometimes. But never approve of sinful behavior in any way, shape, or form, lest you find yourself being worthy of death. Strong. Paul couldn't have been more profound when he's writing to the Roman church, and he did not know the Roman church, but he knew their environment. He knew the world they lived in. And he writes to them, and he says, don't be part of sin. Don't approve of it in any way, shape, or form. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father God, may we not be found curious about sin, or may we not look upon some sins as entertaining in any way, shape, or form. Lord, let us be holy as unto you. You're a holy God, and you say, to us be holy. And Lord, we can go our way and sometimes not recognize the sin that's all around us. But Paul, he writes a letter to the Roman church, and he tells them, hey, the wrath of God comes against sin. And he gives people who sin over to themselves. Lord, we don't want you to give us over. We appreciate the fact that you convict us of sin. And you give us an avenue. You give us a path. We get to repent, turn from our sins, Lord. Help us to do that. Help us to turn away from sinful behavior or taking any pleasure in those who do sin. We're called to be a holy people, a sanctified people. So, Lord, do a good work by your Spirit in each and every heart and life here. Call us to yourself. May we be righteous in our thoughts towards one another, and may we be holy before you, Lord. So help us. We pray and ask for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hard sermon. I had to pray about it.